Be reading Psalm 101, a psalm of David. I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor secretly, I will destroy. Whoever has a haughty look, an arrogant heart, I will not endure. I will look with favor on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in the way that is blameless shall minister to me. No one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. Morning by morning I will destroy all the wicked in the land, cutting off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Mark, for reading the word. I love our deacons, the ministry that they have. Thank you, Mark, for being faithful. We're so glad you're here. Thank you for braving the cold. The snow was dusting, but nothing. The roads are clear, fine, and it's not going to amount to anything, but it's going to be bitter cold for the next few days, and thank you for being here. Man, if you've been in church all your life, we're so glad you're here. If you have been in church fell away at some point, man, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're back. Maybe you've never been in church at all. Maybe you're just now re-engaging in church. Not re-engaging, but engaging. We're glad you're here. We know that God's got some great stuff for you, and we just trust and pray that by your presence here, that God does some wonderful things in your life. So thank you. Thank you for being here. We want to serve you. If you want to know how to become a part of us, let us know, because we want to serve you and anything we can do for you. You know, I heard a story of a teacher. And by the way, I love the video. Because it's a great video, number one, about Rooted. Get involved in Rooted if you're not. But here's what I love, man. I love that you had an educator in a public school system, a teacher, who was talking about living sin. That's what we mean when we talk about living sin. She is a public educator, and she's doing a Bible study for her students. That's living sin. As Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. She's living sin at school. We want you to do the same thing in whatever domain you're in. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a doctor in a medical profession. Maybe you're a businessman or woman. Maybe you're a mechanic. Maybe you work at home and it's with your friends. It's on the ball field or with some preschool moms. Whatever domain you're in, we want you to live sin. Love that video. I love seeing our people live sin. But she's a teacher, and I heard about another teacher who, a math teacher, who was trying to teach her students math in elementary school. And she said, Johnny, if your dad borrowed $100 and he paid back $10 every week in 7 weeks, how much would your dad owe? And little Johnny said, well, my dad would owe $100. And she said, little Johnny, you don't know math too good, do you? And he said, well, I don't know if I know math too good, but I know my daddy really good. So, you know, integrity is something that is a rare commodity in our world. Matter of fact, it's as rare as a Titans win in today's world. And so that's why we wanted to kick off this 2025 with a series about integrity. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we're the salt of the earth. We're the light in the world. And we want to season this earth with truth, because we want to reflect who Christ is. And so we started this series called Integrity 101. Now we're calling it Integrity 101 because it's taken from Psalm 101. And it's an incredible song that Mark just read. We're reading it every week, and I want to encourage you to memorize the psalm. It is a great psalm because it talks about the 101 basics. That's another reason we're calling it 101, because when you are in college, if you've not yet gone to college, or maybe you remember in college, or maybe you're there now, the 101 level courses are the basics. And Psalm 101 outlines these basic elements of integrity. And we've already talked about integrity of the heart. We talked about integrity of the eyes last week, and today we're going to talk about integrity of the tongue, which is much needed in our world. Now, when we talk about the tongue and our lips, the things that come out of our mouth, we could take this in many different angles, right? We could talk about a lot, how the power of our words. We could talk about how we need to be encouraging rather than critical, how our words need to be words of honor. But here's what we know. David, as he's talking about integrity, specifically in Psalm 101, he specifically talks about lying and deceit with his tongue. So we're going to talk about integrity of the tongue, meaning that we will speak honestly. Matter of fact, here's what David says in Psalm 101, verse 5, that Mark just read. Whoever slanders his neighbor, secretly I will destroy. Now, slander means to lie. It doesn't mean just gossip, although it's not good to gossip about your neighbor, but it means to lie. That's what the word slander is, to be deceptive, to deceive about someone. So it's lying. Then in Psalm 101, verse 7, David says, no one who practices deceit, no one who practices deceit shall dwell in my house. No one who utters lies shall continue before my eyes. David is very serious about telling the truth. In verse 2, he declared, I will walk with integrity in my house. We talked about that in the very first message, with integrity in the heart. If you're going to walk with integrity, you're not just going to wake up one day and be a man or woman of integrity. If you're living on cruise control, you're not going to be a man or woman of integrity. If you're going to live with integrity, you're going to have to make a declaration. You're going to have to be determined to live with integrity. That's what David said. David said, I will walk with integrity. He was determined. And here he makes it clear and plain that walking with integrity, an essential ingredient of that is to tell the truth. Now, let me help you to understand what the definition of a lie is. Now, I really don't need to do that. We all know what lying is. We all know what not telling the truth is. I don't really have to. That's basic. Matter of fact, we know it from experience. We've experienced it so much. But biblically, the definition of a lie is telling something that's not true, obviously, for the intent to deceive. Now, that's very important, because just because you say something that isn't true doesn't necessarily mean that you told a lie. For instance, if you ask me, Pat, what's your wedding anniversary? And I said, well, it's July the 3rd. And I really got married on July the 5th. Well, that might not mean I'm lying, because it might just mean my memory's terrible, right? I've got a terrible memory. I wasn't trying to deceive you. I just didn't remember. So that the definition of lying is not telling something that isn't true with the intent to deceive. It also doesn't mean that you have to always tell the truth, meaning speak something that is true. For instance, if, let's say, Anna comes in the room and she's wearing a dress, and man, I don't like that dress. And I'm thinking, what in the world has she got on? That doesn't mean I have to tell her that, right? As a matter of fact, it's probably smart if I don't tell her that, right, guys? You guys know what I'm, now, so I know something that for me is true, but I don't have to tell it. You all know that from your kids. You tell your kids, you don't ever lie to your kids, but they also don't need to know everything, right? There's some things they don't need to know. And so, but now if Anna said, hey, honey, what do you think of this dress? Now I'm in a bind. Because truthfully, I don't like it. If I say that, I'm in trouble. If I don't say it, I lie. So what do? I've got to tell the truth, right? Or I would be deceiving. So the biblical definition of lying, when David talks about it, it's not saying something that's not true with the intent to deceive. With the intent to deceive. Now, how many of you, just a question here, and I asked this in the first service, and it was incredible. How many of you told a lie in the last day? You know, it's the same response in the last service. Everybody in that service was a liar too, just like you. Not a hand went up. I lied! Nobody wants to admit to lying, because nobody wants, I'm not gonna hold my hand up. Everybody, you know, here's stats. Statistically, people tell 4 lies per day. The average person tells 4 lies per day statistically. That's a lot in my book. 1's a lot in my book, but 4 a day. Statistically, a study by the University of Massachusetts concluded that 86% of teenagers lie to their parents regularly. Now, that's not a surprise, but 75% lie to their friends regularly, and 69% lie to their spouse regularly. Those are sad and disconcerting, and that's exactly why we wanted to do this series on integrity. It's what we see. We see so many examples everywhere of people that are not honest, and I want to give you, for a moment, I want to give you what God says about it out of His Word, because what God's Word says about it, it's much more powerful than anything I've got to say about it. So when you leave here today and you think about lying and telling the truth, what God says about it, I want you to know what God says. And I want you to begin to put this in your mind. And so if you've got your notebook, your journal, write these references down. I'm going to read a lot of verses. And I'm going to read these verses because I want you to get the theme and really know how God feels about lying. He makes it very clear. And so you won't have a chance to turn to all these because I'm going to read them and go to the next and go to the next. But write the reference down in your journal. If you don't have one of those composition books, if you don't have a journal, we got composition books out in the back, and we want you to get those because we want you to take notes in the service. We want you to take it home. I'm going to give you some things to write down today, some references, and do some other things in your quiet time. Use that and mark it up and write it up and save it and go back and look at that and see what the Lord has done over the years. So let me give you some verses that tell us exactly how God feels about lying, and he does not hold back. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, just write that reference down. He says, there are six things the Lord hates and seven that are an abomination to him. Now, I want to know what God hates. If God hates something, and this is a strong word, hate. Man, you probably even told your kid, hate's a strong word. The Bible says God hates something. I want to know what it is, because if God hates it, I want to stay as far away from it as I can. If it's an abomination to him, I want to know what it is. Here's what it says. Six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, bam. Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness that breathes out lies, bam. And one who sows discord among brothers. God tells us six things he hates, seven that are an abomination. Two of those things are lying. He mentions lying twice. In one list, he mentions lying twice. I think that means God hates lying. It's an abomination to him. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Again, lying lips are an abomination, the Proverbs writer tells us, to the Lord. That's twice. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish. It's pretty strong. Psalm 119:163, I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. The psalmist writes, I hate lies, but I love God's law because, why? It's truth. Colossians 3:9-10. Here's what Paul writes to the Colossians. Do not lie to one another. He writes this to the church. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of its creator. Paul tells the Colossians that lying is a part of the old self before Christ. Now you are in Christ. You are a brand new creation, a brand new person. Put off lying because you're now walking with Christ. John 8:44. This is a very, very powerful punch of a verse right here when it comes to lying. In John 8:44, it says, you are of your father, the devil. Your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. So every time someone tells a lie, it comes from, it's a spawn of its father, Satan. You're never more like the devil than when you lie. No one wants to be like the devil, but you're never more like the devil than when you lie because that is his nature. That is who he is. And in Revelation 21:8 says, but as for the cowardly, the fatherless, as for the coward, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Wow. God's word is very clear when it comes to how he feels about lying, and I just read to you a sampling. It's packed. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you some homework at the end, and it's going to be to go and look up some other references, but God's word is packed. You begin now, I hope, to understand. You can leave with an understanding of what God feels about deceiving, telling something that's not true with the intent to deceive, lying, however you want to say it. God hates it, and because God hates it, and because David loves God, David hates it. Matter of fact, David hates it so much. Did you notice what he said? He said, man, somebody that lies, I'm going to destroy them. He said, somebody that deceives and lies, I'm not even going to let them hang out in my house. I'm kicking them out of my house. That's some serious business, isn't it? God hates lying. David loves God, so David hates lying. Why? You should hate lying. Why? Because God hates it. Why? Because lying brings death. That's the first point I want you to remember. Lying brings death. And here's another way to say it. Lies destroy lives. Lies destroy lives. Lying brings death, folks. Last week we talked about how living a life of integrity is going to require you to have the heart of a warrior. Now, I know the warrior theme is typically a man thing. I mean, we love movies that Braveheart. You know, we love The Patriot. We love these, man, these shoot 'em up. We love movies where guys are the heroes because they fight to the end. And so, guys, that's typically a guy theme. But listen, it requires women, you to be a warrior as well if you're going to walk with integrity. Why? Because you're in a battle. We're all in a battle. We're all in a fight. It's a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. It's a spiritual war that we're in. And one of the weapons, probably the most preferred weapon that the enemy uses is lies. He uses lies. As a matter of fact, go back to the Garden of Eden. Do you remember how God created the world? He created the world beautiful and perfect. He created the world in a way that's exactly like you want it. I mean, man, there was literally no broken families. There was no friends that stab you in the back. Nobody going home today worried about their finances. Nobody worried about their grandma's health because there was no sickness. There was no dying. It was absolutely the world we want. Complete peace, no stress. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was everything we want. What broke that world? Well, Adam and Eve obviously crashed and burned. We know that. But what caused Adam and Eve to crash and burn? Well, let's look at it. It's in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And it says this. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field and the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of the tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So God put Adam and Eve in this beautiful spot. He gave them the life we all dreamed of and all wanted. And he said, it's yours for all of eternity. Stress-free life, all provision, never worry about anything. I mean, man, perfect relationship with me, no self-esteem issues. I mean, it's everything we want, and they blew it. Why did they blow it? He told them, you can eat from any tree in the garden, any tree. You can eat from any tree in the garden. You can build playhouses. You can build tree houses. You can put tire swings. You can do whatever you want, but one tree you shall not eat from. He didn't say they couldn't touch it. He said they can't eat from one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So what does Satan do? Well, his intent for Adam and Eve is just like his intent for me and you, and that's to destroy our joy, our peace, to destroy the perfect world that God created. That's his intent. He's still on the prowl like a lion seeking someone to devour. And how does he devour? The same tactic with Adam and Eve. He comes and he tells us lies. You see, God spoke his word to Adam and Eve. His word was spoken. You shall not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden. That was God's word. God's given us his word today, right? His word is the Bible. It tells us how to live. Every area of our life, God tells us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. He gives us a sexual ethic. He gives us how to live in marriage. He gives us how to raise kids. He gives us how to be in relationship with people. He gives us all these principles. He doesn't tell us specifically who to marry, but he does give us principles about marriage and that we got to marry believers and people who love the Lord, and he gives us principles within marriage. He gives us all these guidance for life, but then we get it so messed up. Why? Because the enemy comes along and he does the same thing to us that he does to Adam and Eve. He lies. Did God really say? And he gets us confused about what God really said. Well, somebody over here, this preacher over here, somebody said, well, God didn't really say that. This is what God meant. Bingo, I got it. All I needed was one person to okay this behavior. I don't know what God said. He gets us confused, and that's what the enemy did, Satan, to Adam and Eve. He got them confused. He painted their mind with doubt. They're on the ropes. He's playing rope-a-dope, and all of a sudden, when he's got them right where he wants them, bam, he hits them with a knockout punch. This lie, and what did they do? They believed it. And we do so many times, don't we? That's the tactic. You got to be a warrior. You got to have your armor up. You got to have your guard up to protect against the lies of the enemy. And so they believed the lie and they bit the dust and they took everybody down with them. But we can't blame them because, yes, we were born as their people who come from their line. We were born sinners, but we've also chosen to sin. We're also responsible. We've also bought the lies. So Adam and Eve bought the lie. They bit the dust. And when they bit the dust, man, they died. Why? Because lies bring death. They died physically, eventually, but they died spiritually, immediately. They were separated from God. Their spiritual life was gone because lies bring death. Lies destroy lives. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts? Here's another great example. We looked at the example of how a lie, the first lie in human history was when Satan told Adam and Eve a lie and they bought the lie and they bit the dust. And then let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go forward to the New Testament, about 4,000 years from Adam and Eve. In the New Testament, the church has just started. Jesus has died. He's come back from the dead. He's gone back to heaven. The church has just started. Things are exploding. I mean, man, Peter's preaching and thousands of people are giving their life to Christ. That's every pastor's dream. I mean, man, he couldn't finish a sermon without people going, man, just hush, I want to get saved, right? And I mean, people were just coming to know the Lord in services, man, in homes throughout the week. I mean, every day God was adding to the number of the church. It was exploding. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And here's what happened. People were really doing what the Bible said, and they were taking care of each other, and there were a lot of needs in the church. You can imagine in that century, in that world, and there were a lot of needs in the church, and so Christians all of a sudden began to obey God's word, and they said, you know what, we need to help our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so someone had a need. If they didn't have the money, then they began selling stuff to help their brothers and sisters out. They began selling stuff, and so what happened was this man named Ananias, and he had a wife named Sapphira, and they sold a piece of land. They sold it for more than it was worth, got more out of it than they thought they would get out of it, and Ananias brought this money. Sapphira was not with him. He brought this money to give to the apostles to use to help people out. But here's what he did. He brought some of the money, sold it for more than it was worth, more than he thought he'd get out of it. So he brought the money and he said, hey, me and my wife, Sapphira, we sold a piece of land, and man, we're bringing all the money from that land and we want to give it to the church so that the church can use it to provide for other people. We want to give all the money. Now, the problem was they didn't give all the money. They gave some of the money. So what did he do? He lied. So when he said, hey, we give all this money, Peter said, are you sure? Because the Holy Spirit was revealing to Peter that there was a lie going on. And Peter said, you sure? And I said, yeah, we gave all, this is all the money. And immediately God killed him, flatlined right there. The dude died. They carry him out, burying him. His wife doesn't know what's going on. She comes in. Hey, y'all, anybody seen my husband, Ananias, around here? Oh, by the way, hey, did y'all know we sold some land? And Peter said, yeah, did he bring all the money to give it to the church? She said, oh, yeah. Immediately she died. They carried her out, right? They come in, they didn't give the money, and they carried her out. So right now, I've got all of our ushers. We're going to take up offering right now. Figured it'd be a great appropriate time. Actually, folks, this has nothing to do with money or giving, okay? This is not a passage about money or giving, and they could have given some of the money. They didn't have to give any of the money from the land, sale of this land. I mean, really, they could have given it all, some, none. It's not about money at all. It's about lying. This was the infancy of the church. The church was just brand new, and God is making clear lies bring death. Lies destroy lives. Lying brings death. Don't lie. God hates it. He hates it because it brings death. We're born dead because of a lie, spiritually dead. We die eventually. We're separated from God immediately because of a lie. We're separated from other people because death occurs because of a lie. He hates lying because it brings death. Think about how lies kill, lies destroy lives. The bedrock of any relationship is trust. That's the bedrock of any relationship. If I can trust you, we can get through practically anything. If I can't trust you, we can't progress through anything. I told my kids, I grew up, my kids, you know, I've got a lot of kids. Man, I've got 7 kids, 3 grandkids. I've got like a basketball team, full basketball team, you know, with all subs. But I told my kids, you know, and my kids' kids, and I tell them all the time, I say, look, you're going to make a lot of mistakes through life. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You're going to disobey daddy. I know you are. Oh, no, Dad, you're going to disobey me. I'm going to tell you to do something. You're not going to do it. I'm going to tell you not to do something. You're going to do it. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. You know how I know that? Because daddy made a lot of mistakes. Daddy disobeyed his parents a lot. Daddy did these things. I know you're going to do that. So you're going to make a lot of mistakes. But here's what I want you to know. When you do, the truth always comes out. Just know that up front. The truth doesn't stay hidden. The truth always comes out. And so if you tell me the truth, no matter what you do, I'll walk through whatever fire with you. But if you lie to me, I'll let you burn in that fire. You need to understand that. I'm going to teach you the importance of telling the truth. If you lie to me, I will let you burn in that fire. But if you are honest, I will walk through any fire with you. Because I know you're going to make a mistake. Nobody's perfect. I know you're going to make a mistake. I know you're going to do things. Just be honest. And man, we'll get through whatever it is together. Doesn't mean you won't suffer consequences. It just means there'll be less, maybe. The bedrock of any relationship is trust. And so here's what happens. When trust is destroyed between friends, do you want to hang out with that friend? That's why David said, I'm not even going to let a liar hang out in my house. I can't trust them. I don't want them to be around my house. I'll destroy them. If you can't trust somebody, do you want to hang out with them? No. If you can't trust your husband or wife, man, is that the foundation where your marriage can flourish? No, because see, that's what happens, because lies kill trust, and therefore lies kill marriages. Lies kill intimacy. Lies kill friendships. Lies kill careers. Lies kill dreams. Lies kill. Lies destroy lives. Lies brings death. Think about it. God hates lying so much because every sin began with a lie. Every sin. Back in the Garden of Eden, all sin comes from that, and it began with a lie. Every disaster in our world, whether it's a natural disaster, whether it's a human disaster, every disaster began with a sin. Every broken marriage and broken family began with a sin. Every pain in your life began with a sin. Every person you don't have in your life because they've passed this life and they've gone on, it began with a sin. So God hates lying because lying brings death. Lies destroy lives. David hated lying because David loved God and God hated lying. You should hate lying because lying brings death. But here's the thing, truth brings life. Truth brings life. On the opposite hand, truth brings life. Here's what Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about the power of your words. Here's what God's word says. Your tongue has power. James talks about it being a rudder that steers the entire ship. So your words have amazing power. How you speak to your kids are going to speak death into their lives or life into their lives. You know that, some of you know that all too well because of how you were spoken to from your parents. You've got a choice whether you perpetuate that or whether you break the cycle. Your words, if they're encouraging, are life-giving. Man, your words, if they're critical, are death. If they're always critical, doesn't mean you don't correct. It means there's a difference in correction and criticism. And if your words are always negative to your wife, brings death. If your words are positive and encouraging, it brings life. I mean, you think about, you have someone to tell you, man, how beautiful you are. Women, you have someone to tell, your husband tells you how beautiful you are, how he desires you. Man, it just adds life. Someone that tells you, oh, you know, you don't look good here, you know, it brings death. Your tongue has that kind of power. So be very careful with your tongue. And probably the most power comes in the truth and lies. as one brings death and one brings life. John 14, 6, Jesus says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's Jesus. Truth is not a concept. Truth's a person. Truth is not a concept that changes from generation to generation or culture to culture. Truth is a person that's always absolute. That's Jesus Christ. He is truth. He doesn't just tell the truth. He is truth. He's the way. He's the only way to God. That's the truth. He is life. He's the only thing that brings life. John, 1 John 1, 5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Lying is completely contrary to God because God is light. Darkness, lies are darkness. There is no darkness in God at all. So lying is completely contrary to God. When you lie, you're nothing like God. You're like your father, Satan, is what Jesus said, remember, in John 8, 44. But when you tell the truth, you're like Jesus. Because Jesus is life. Jesus is light. Jesus is truth. So you're either like Jesus or you're like Satan. And lying brings death, but truth brings life. Why? Because lying kills trust. Lying kills trust. That's what we talked about. But truth builds trust. Truth restores trust. Even when you tell the truth and it's going to cost you something, it still brings life. You think, man, if I tell the truth on this situation, if I tell my wife or my husband the truth, if I tell my kids the truth, if I tell my friends the truth, if I tell my boss the truth, I might lose my job. But listen, what you lose is nowhere near as valuable as what you gain. Because you might lose something. You might lose your job, for instance. But I'm telling you, you're going to gain so much respect. You're going to gain a name, and a name is more valuable than all the gold in the world, the scripture says. You're going to gain trust. You're going to gain trust. And trust, truth brings life because it brings trust. And then trust breeds a healthy relationship. So when you do something and you shouldn't do, kids, husband, wife, when you the truth is hard, and I just want you to know the truth's always going to be hard, but you're honest, immediately it might bring a little bit of consequence and a little bit of pain, but the trust that it builds is going to be phenomenal. I'm going to tell you a little story about myself, because I like to use myself, because I made some stupid decisions. I'm a wealth of stupid decisions, right? I got them. And so, like most of us, when I was 13 years old, that's when I began drinking alcohol. If you're a kid in here, you shouldn't do that. Don't do as I do, learn from what I did. I grew up in Appalachian Mountains where it was readily available and where, you know, that's just, you know, the culture. And so I started drinking alcohol when I was about 13 years old. And I remember one night, a bunch of my friends got some alcohol. We drank a little or a lot and you know, but nobody would know about it. No, I can hide this. Nobody ever knows, do they? Nobody ever find out. Truth always comes out, folks. And so one of my little buddies got to talking and told his mommy, and then his mommy told my mommy, and you know what happened. I'm one night getting ready for bed, and my mom comes in, and she's all mad, and she said, I'm Patrick. And well, I knew when she said, Patrick, I want to know something. I said, what do you need to know, Mom? And I made a commitment. Even when I was a kid, I'm not going to lie. Part of that's my personality, but I'm not going to lie, because I don't want to have to cover it up. And my mom said, Patrick, and I said, I want to know something. Were you drinking the other night? All I had to do was say, no. No, I don't know who told you that. Oh, we'll go whoop them. I looked at her and I said, yeah, Mom, I was. And she, boy, she got mad. I'm telling you, she got mad. She said, I'm telling your daddy when he gets home, he was working, he's going to wear you out. I was 13 years old. He's going, you know, she's telling me all this stuff. And let me make sure you understand. My mom got mad at me. She got mad at me. But you know what? It built so much trust in my mom, because from that moment on, she knows, I ain't going to lie. So if I said, Mom, I didn't do something, you know what my mom did? Okay. Man, that brought a lot of life to my relationship with my mama. I didn't have to ever cover my tracks. Don't you get tired of covering your tracks? Because here's the thing, when you tell the truth, you don't ever have to remember what you said. Isn't that cool? If you just tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you told him or her, and somebody asks you something, what did I tell him? Just tell the truth. See, truth brings life because it brings so much freedom. It brings so much freedom. It allows you to live authentically. It allows you to, you know, the truth is always gonna be hard, and sometimes the truth's gonna bring consequences. But I promise you, the truth's gonna bring life because it's gonna build trust. It's gonna build trust. And when somebody tells me something, and I love it, even when somebody tells me something, when my kids or when somebody comes to me first and says, hey, you need to know this, that I did this. I'm like, huh. Man, I had a staff member call me one time, and they did something stupid and just not sinful, just stupid. And so they did something, they called me, they wanted to get ahead of it. And they called me and said, hey, you need to know this. I did this. And they were young and ministry. And I put the phone down and I'm laughing. Because I'm thinking, this is great, because I've now got something to hang over their head. And because this is like, you know, it's not sinful, it's stupid. And then I put it up and I said, well, you know, and I said, bro, it'll be all right. And you know what? I trust that dude. I have zero concern about what, because he told me the truth before I even asked him. Truth brings life. Truth brings life. It brings trust. It builds your trust. It builds your testimony. It builds your character. Listen, some of you business owners and some of you managers in here, I got a lot of folks that work for me, and so I know that you feel the same as I do. If you're young, it doesn't matter how old you are. Listen to this. This is sadly what I tell my basketball team with all the subs right now. Kids, listen, success is one thing. Success doesn't have anything to do with how much money you make. Get that out of your mind right now. Zero to do with how much money you make. Success has nothing to do with what kind of position you achieve in your career. Zero necessarily. Now, you know, you're not gonna get there probably if you don't do some things. Success, let your definition of success be one word and only one word, and that's you're successful if you're faithful. That's the definition of success. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? If you're faithful, it doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what your position gets to. But here's the sad thing. And all you business owners now, you can tell me amen if this is true and tell me I'm wrong if it's not. And I guarantee you I won't hear one, you're wrong. This is what I tell my basketball team, my kids. Okay, kids, I'm getting ready to tell you how to get ahead in this world. I'm getting ready to tell you how to be above 99% of everybody in this world, don't matter how educated they are, it doesn't matter how smart they are, I'm getting ready to tell you how to be the president of the company right now. And it doesn't matter about your degree. Here's what it is. You get you a job, you, number one, show up on time, tell the truth, and say yes, sir, no, sir. I know that's a Southern thing, it's not a Southern thing. It's a respect thing. You say yes, sir, no, sir. You'll be the president of the company in 2 years. You do those three things. Is that right, guys? That's right. Every business owner I talk to says, I'd love to have people that showed up on time, people that just told me the truth, and people that had some respect. You do that, and you're going to get way ahead. Why? Because it's so lacking in our world. It's so lacking in our world. I challenge you to live sin. One of the greatest things you can do to live sin in your workplace is to just be honest, to tell the truth and let people know where it comes from. Now, I'm going to give you some homework because this is Integrity 101. So I'm going to give you some homework that will help you hopefully begin to develop this integrity. Number one, you got to be determined. I will. And so here's your homework. Number one, if you're in an active lie, maybe some of you are in an active lie. Maybe some of you need to tell your wife something or your husband something or your kids or your parents or your friends. Maybe you need to tell someone something. And listen, maybe you need help in doing that because it's just such a severe. Now, I want to make sure you understand there is no such thing as a white lie, okay? There's no such thing as a white lie. Truth is truth is truth. A lie is a lie is a lie. But there are some things that you need to come out of and confessing a lie that, you know, the consequences may be pretty serious. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need to let us know. We have folks that can walk this path with you. But if you're in an active lie, you need to begin to pray, God, help me to come out of this and tell the truth. Help me to come clean. Help me to come clean. Okay, that's the first thing. You need to commit. If you're in an active lie, you need to come clean. Confess. That's hard. That's difficult. Maybe you need help. But you need to pray, help me to come clean, and then you need to come clean. Two is, here's what you need to do. Don't stop there. You need to self-analyze yourself. Do a little introspection, and you just say, why do I lie? Why do I do this? You see, that's always a question that I ask myself on anything. When I get angry, why did I get angry? Why did I do this? You need to be able to self-analyze, and you say, why? Is it because I'm afraid of something? Is it because I'm insecure? Is it because I want people to like me? Why is it that I tell this lie? And begin to work there. We have counselors on our staff that can greatly help you understand, and maybe self-analyze. Until you get the knack of that, maybe you need some guidance. We've got people that can help you, but if that's a problem, you know, the first step, right, one is, hey, man, I know I've got this problem, and I'm going to be determined to live with integrity, and so having that determination means I'm going to get help, maybe. I'm not going to be on cruise control tonight. I'm going to get help. And so analyze, why do I keep doing this? Why did I tell that lie? Why did I feel like I had to? What was I afraid of? What was I insecure about? Do I really need friends that bad? Was I afraid I was gonna lose? Why do I keep doing this? So come clean and analyze. This is some homework. You need to write this down. This is self-work, right? Come clean and analyze and make a commitment. I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm gonna lie on the little things, I'm gonna lie on the big things. No white lies, but I'm gonna tell the truth on the little things, I'm gonna tell the truth on the big things. I'm gonna tell the truth. If it costs me my job, it costs me my job. If it costs me a friend, it costs me a friend, but I'm going to develop my character. I wanna live sent for the glory of God, and I can't live sent for the glory of God if I'm reflecting the enemy, Satan. I wanna reflect God the Father. I wanna reflect the truth. So make a commitment. I'm not going to do this. Now, this is very important. I want you to memorize a couple of verses. Because when you put God's word in your heart, what does the psalmist say? I have put your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Put God's word in your heart. Let me give you a couple of verses that will help you to put in your mind, that will help bring conviction and clarity and commitment and determination to walk. One is Psalm 141:3. It says simply this: set guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Set guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Now, we've got some sticky pads out in the hallway, some of those like you see over on this side of the top of the board, you know, those little sticky pads, post-it notes. You can, if you don't have some, take them, write scripture verses on it. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on the dash of your car. Don't put it on the windshield. Put it on the dash of your car. Sad I have to say that in today's world, isn't it? It's like coffee's hot. Sad you got to put that on the cup. But write that verse on a post-it note. Memorize it. Here's another one. Man, I was having my quiet time this morning. I'm doing the 2-year chronological Bible reading plan that we have on our website, and I love it. And I'm in Job. And I love you. You know, I love the book of Job because my life's been a lot of suffering as of recent years, and so Job has really helped me a lot. And in Job 27:4, here's what it says. Write this down. I don't have it on the screen. Write this down. This is a reference. I want you to memorize this verse. My lips will not speak falsehood. My tongue will not utter deceit. Here's a guy who's down and out. Here's a guy who literally has lost everything, suffering. Man, it's like life has hit him between the eyes repeatedly, and he says, I will not lose my integrity in the midst of this. I will not. I will not. My lips, I will not lie. Those two verses, memorize those two verses. Memorize those two verses. Memorize the verses, memorize Psalm 101. Memorize that because, and remember, I have hid your word, O Lord, in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because then when you start to tell a lie, God's word's in there. The Holy Spirit brings it to your mind. It's like, oh, there's conviction, which is good. Conviction is not bad. Conviction is God's grace upon you. So memorize those verses. And then look up all those other verses, the references that I wrote, that I spoke to you a while ago. I hope you wrote those down. Go to your concordance in your Bible and look up lying. Go on the computer and look up Bible verses on lying and begin to write those down. And all the verses on lying that you'll see, let that begin to wash over you. God's word is the greatest thing to bring transformation into your lives. It's the greatest thing. God's word is a double-edged sword. It cuts down to the bone, to the marrow. It is a transformative thing because it's truth. Let God's word wash over you. So that's your homework. Stop lying. Confess, come clean, self-analyze, memorize scripture. Maybe some of you need to get with your accountability partner. And all these, if you're going to walk with integrity, you're going to have a friend, a trusted friend that's going to walk with you, that you can tell these things to, that will help you, right? And so that's your homework. And right now I want to talk about, there's two other aspects of lying that I want to hit in closing. One is, you know what? Some of the greatest lies are the lies you tell to yourself. That's some of the greatest lies that the enemy uses, are the lies that you tell to yourself. They've been told to you all your life, and now you believe them and you tell them to yourself, I'm no good. I can't do anything. Your self-esteem is shot because of the lies you told yourself. God can never use me. All those are lies. Straight from the pit of hell, they smell of smoke. And I want you to understand, man, we want to help you with that. Maybe you need some help with some of those things. We got counselors. But don't believe those lies that you tell yourself. Believe God's word. And two, here's the greatest lie ever told. The greatest lie ever told is you don't need Jesus to be right with God. That you can do this by yourself. It's about how you work. It's about how good you are. You can overcome all with your effort and with your work. Man, that's the greatest lie the enemy uses to tell you, to keep you from Christ. No, the Bible says there is none who are righteous. No, not one. You can't be good enough. It is only in Jesus Christ. The Bible truth is you don't have to be good enough because Jesus was. The truth is it's only in Jesus' work, not in your work. That's the truth. So today some of you need to lay down all of your efforts, stop believing the lie, and believe in Jesus. We want to help you do that. If you want to come back, we'll be glad to help you. If you're watching online and you don't know how to do that, text the word Jesus to the number on the screen because we want to help you walk in freedom, walk in the truth. Jesus is the way. There is no other way. There's no other God. There's no other way up that mountain. There's no other way, according to what I just read you. The Bible is the truth, and he says Jesus is the only way. It's it. That's the truth. Today, if you don't know him, come back and see me or text the word Jesus on the screen. Maybe you do know him, and man, your life, we want you to live sent for the glory of God and for your good, and one of the greatest ways to do that is protecting your eyes, protecting your tongue. Protecting your eyes and protecting your tongue. And that will set the foundation for you, this life of integrity, to live sent in a way that brings God glory and you good. Father, we love you. Thank you for your amazing grace. I pray that today, after this message, God, it's not my words. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit convicts, that you take your word and you bring conviction of your word. And all I need to do is stand up and read the word because your word is that powerful. I pray that today people would hear your word on honesty and integrity. And Lord, if we need to be convicted of that, convict us and help us to recognize that as an act of your grace, not as you spanking us, but as you loving us and an act of your grace that calls us back to you. God, I pray that today if we are in an active lie, God, someone here that they would confess that. And Lord, that we would figure out why we're doing that and that our lives would be characterized by truth. God, that we would put our name and our reputation and our character and your glory above any gain that we might get by telling a lie. God, I pray that we would honor you, and I pray that today you say in your word, you will know the truth will set you free. God, I know that that's talking about Jesus setting us free from bondage to sin, but God, I know that also the truth, telling the truth will set us free. It'll set us free and let us live a life of authenticity. It'll set us free from having to cover our tracks. It'll set us free from the stress of lying. It will set us free. And I pray that today people will be set free. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, church.